Welcome back for this week's Off The Bench podcast. My name is Az and I'm from FPL Blackbox.
And I'm Oscar, also known as FPL Focal.
FPL managers find themselves with 2 weeks of thinking time as we head into another international break. But Oscar, there's a lot to think about. The two most captain players both blanked. Son failed to return in the first match of Game Week 8. And Haaland also finished the game week without a return as well. Sterling punished those who sold him, and it was centre-backs Pau Torres and Mickey van der Ven who rewarded their owners with attacking returns, while hardly owned wing-backs in Adogi, Cash and Porro all failed to register attacking returns. One of those weeks, Oscar. Some take a breather, but before we do, let's take a look back at Game Week 8. How did you get on?
Yeah, not too bad, actually. Yeah, it's nice to come on here with a green arrow, unlike our last recording together. Yeah, I played my wildcard back in Game Week 7, which was a net gain, and more gains in Game Week 8. So, yeah, all good. Not a massive green arrow. I got 50 points all out, so that puts me at 450 points in total. Still a way off where I'd like to be, but heading in the right direction. I had Son, Salah and Haaland, and did go for Son captain in the end, which was the biggest regret. Obviously not helped by the red card from Bissouma. How do you get on?
Well, it's like they knew when they paired us together for these that we'd have kind of similar seasons. I'm on a 4-4-7, so you're 3 points ahead of me. Played the wild card same time as you. It's just been slow and steady, like increases. I'm still waiting for that one big week that, you know, I normally get them sort of before game week 10 where you go for one player who's a bit different and he does well. Yeah. But it just hasn't really happened yet. Salah was the one this week, wasn't he? For people that captained him, they had a big week.
Yeah, that was a nice swing. Yeah, like you say, you wait for those moments where that player pops up out of nowhere he don't expect. Like you mentioned Pau Torres and van der Ven just then, who both scored, I believe, double-digit hauls. So yeah, waiting to have one of those moments myself. Yeah, captaincy, a big swing. I think Son was the most captained or thereabouts. I think he had 1.4 million new owners, so certainly the most transferred in. Yeah, I think just under 2 million captained him, so yeah, that was a disappointing start to the game week, of course, the first game of the game week.
Yeah, I mean, let's go through the games of the game. We'll start with the early kickoff. There's that saying in the FPL world, isn't there? Never back the early kickoff. Yeah. Madison owners obviously got the assist. They'll be happy for that. Adogi, Porro, both getting clean sheets. It was an okay start, but it was disappointing for Son. I mean, his XGI was 0.69 in that game. You know, we can maybe feel a little bit unlucky not to get any attacking returns from that, but you know, the first 10 minutes of the match, I thought, oh, Spurs are going to put, you know, a couple in here. Luton weathered the storm, and then obviously Spurs got the red card and that kind of changed things. But it's never nice to captain a player who blanks the first week, is it? It kind of sets a downer on the whole weekend.
Yeah, it feels like it puts you on the back foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had Porro as well that game as well. And of course, Udogi came off early. So that was his clean sheet locked in for those that owned Udogi. Did you have a Spurs defender?
Yeah, I had Adogi. I mean, I was watching Porro with fear, really, because you know he had a couple of shots, didn't he? And one with outside the boot that just went past the post. And yeah, I think, you know, now there's not much in it between them. It's like, what, 0.1, maybe 0.2 difference. I think Porro would be the one that I'd go for kind of going forward. But obviously, I've got Adogi and I'm not going to make that switch. I mean, Luton were impressive, weren't they? So defensively, we look at them as the kind of the whipping boys maybe in the league. I thought Spurs would score lots of goals in that match. I think if there'd been an early goal, it might have changed things. But Luton grew into the match and the pitch is just so constricted, isn't it? Players like Son might find it hard to get space.
I agree, yeah. We talk about them as a team to target. I think it's more of a when they're away rather than home. Mm. Not an easy place to go to. But yeah, just on Porro and Adogi, I've actually picked out a few stats just to compare the two. I agree, I wouldn't make the switch. If you're on a wild card over the break or maybe you're looking for a Stupinan replacement. So this season, Porro's taken 11 shots to Adogi's 1. 21 crosses to Adogi 7, and he's created 10 chances to Adogi 7. And he's taken more touches in the final third. So yeah, everything points towards Porro. So I feel like he's a bit of a ticking time bomb. There's an absolute haul there coming at some point.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing with Porro is the kind of the Emerson Royale risk, slight risk maybe, that we could see him, you know, play a game. No Europe for Spurs. They're out of the cup, the Carabao Cup as well. So is it just going to be that Royale gets no minutes from now on? I think he might come in for the odd game. I mean, you know, to be fair, Adogi's got Ben Davies who came on for him as well. And Porro looks pretty vital to that attack. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Porro is the one to go for. Yeah, 0.2 million in it between them. And yeah, I can see a goal from Porro coming in the next few weeks.
And interestingly, I know last season's distant memory now, but in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement, Trippier obviously was elite last season. Every 264 minutes last season. Trent every 272. And Porro also every 272 last season. Mm. And I think because he joined in January, that's perhaps partly why he's been quite overlooked. You know, he's only 5 5.1, I think. I think he may have gone up once.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's definitely one to consider. And I do think he's got a big score coming.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, it was wildcard week last week. We mentioned there's going to be lots of wildcards played this week. You and I both played wildcards the week before. Classic week, though, wasn't it? People wildcarding out players who have been so poor for so long. And we've got to talk about Raheem Sterling.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, I haven't owned him this season. Did you have him when he for the Luton game or after that?
I think I did what a lot of people did. After that haul against Luton, brought him in. And then there's that window where he's blanked for, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks in a row. You take him back out and that's when he gets that haul last game week. Did you have him at any point?
I haven't owned him. No, I rode the Jackson train, who also scored this week off the bench, which is typical. But I mean, the wildcards that I saw played in game week 8, I didn't see any who had kept the faith in Sterling. I mean, 4 blanks in a row. He's had 2 games where he's returned essentially in 8 this season. So 6 blanks for Sterling. What do you think of a player like that? Because they're incredibly frustrating, but you know they've got the potential to hit a big score. And that's what we were talking about earlier. That's what we're waiting for, that big score.
I suppose it's a lesson in patience, isn't it? But that is like, that's the hardest things in FPL. Knowing when to be patient and when it's time to move on from a player. And back when I brought him in after that haul, I remember saying at the time, he's got a nice block of 4 fixtures ahead. So I'm going to keep him for the next 4. I didn't stick to my word and I did end up selling him. That was back in Game Week 7, to be fair. So on the other hand, I missed that 0-pointer. But yeah, a shame a lot of people sold him. But yeah, if you kept him, fair play, deserve points.
Yeah, it's tricky when you've got, you know, the midfield spots. There seems to be so many good options there as well. People are having to free up funds to go for Son, to go for Salah, to go for Haaland. And there's Bowen, isn't there, around the kind of 7 million mark. He's been on absolute fire so far this season, and you know, to keep a player who's blanked 4 times in a row for a team that are struggling to score goals, I can see why people did it. I mean, if we are looking for budget enablers, what do you think about Cole Palmer? 4.9 on penalties, it seems.
I was about to ask you about him. 4.9 mil. When they won the penalty, I was wondering who's going to take this. Like, Sterling's taken some before, but his record's not great. Yeah, Palmer and penalty duties. That's an interesting one if that does stick. The problem is their fixtures are turning now. It feels like, you know, that nice block of games have gone. Perhaps if you're on a wild card and you're looking for a fifth midfielder to just stick on your bench and, you know, call upon him when you need to, maybe I'd consider him there, but not someone I'd want to be starting moving forward. What do you think?
Yeah, it's the worst time, really, isn't it, for him? I mean, we look at the fixtures going forward. I mean, it's Arsenal next. It's Brentford. I mean, they're both home games, but Arsenal just looks so good defensively. Yeah. And Brentford, we're going to talk about in a bit. They've had a really rough start to the season, but defensively aren't conceding too many chances. Then it's Spurs, then it's Man City, then it's Newcastle. I mean, it doesn't really get worse from an attacking point of view. And I think we're going to see a lot of investment in Sterling off the back of this. But I think you've got to play the fixtures a little bit. I think so, because I think people are just going to see the points he scored, you know, high scoring player in the week. And that is often the, you know, what people look for when they're making transfers. But I would urge a bit of caution with Sterling and Palmer, I think, based on what you said, because the fixtures, they couldn't be worse, really, than the next 5.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, you're right. He was king of the game week, actually. Top scorer of game week 8 with a 16-pointer. But yeah, there were a few hauls, as we said earlier, like Pau Torres, Van de Ven, Palmer again, like goal and an assist, wasn't it, for him?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, 12 points for a 4.9 million player. He's 0.8% owned as well. He obviously got the assist against Fulham in the game before and has started the last 2. And I think the Sterling Palmer, you know, on the wings is first choice going forward, because Mudryk has failed to really deliver. I mean, Chilwell was playing on the left, but we've seen what Pochettino made of that, and he's injured as well. Obviously, after the international break, do the fullbacks come back in? Does that shake things up a little bit? I mean, if you're desperate, you know, because I'm looking at the other players, like around 5 million. You're looking at Gordon, he's back from suspension. Looking at Neto, who got, what, his 6th attacking return in 6 in the game as well. But they're a bit more pricey. They're like 5.5, 5.6. So for 4.9, if he's someone who's going to sit on your bench and, you know, you might need equivalent to like Archer, not an awful option, but I wouldn't be putting him on first 11 with Palmer. No. I think that's where I'm at.
If I could, I would find the extra money. I think Gordon's really flown under the radar. Crystal Palace home after the break. He was obviously suspended in game week 8 after his 5th yellow card, which is crazy this early for a midfielder or a winger. Yeah, I think he's my favourite, probably followed by Neto.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about West Ham Newcastle as we're on the subject of them. I mean, it was a good good performance from West Ham in that match. Newcastle have been absolutely flying. Obviously, big win in the Champions League as well. I think a player that we overlook as people who put a lot of time into researching players and overthinking everything is someone like Isak, because you're probably the same as me. You think, oh, I can't risk Isak, not with Wilson around. You never know who's going to start. But I mean, you look at the last three game weeks, Isak is top for expected goal involvement, 4.09. Salah's next with 3.19. So Isak has had an absolutely flying start to the season. Where do you sit with him? Is he someone that you'd be looking at? I mean, you said you're looking at Gordon with the fixtures. What about Isak?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Top in the league over the last three.
Yep.
That's really impressive. The problem with Newcastle, and I guess it's a headache for Howe as well, is he's got Wilson. So he's got two absolutely quality options available to him. So for me, Isak and Wilson, really, they're going to be one of those where I probably won't go there at any point unless one of them gets an injury or something like that.
Mm.
I think that's when there's a massive opportunity there. But I think it was Isak who was starting the season, getting games, and then end up Wilson coming in, Isak Champions League. So I'm not sure if I'll go there unless there's an injury that opens up that opportunity. What about you?
It's really tricky. I mean, it's six starts for Isak out of eight. You look at his first four game weeks and he was getting subbed off around the 70-minute mark. It's something they can do, you know, when they want to bring Wilson on or change things up. He's going to be someone who's sacrificed. I think he's really key to anything they want to do in the Champions League as well, because I think Wilson is a great player, but I think Isak just is that he's got that class, that little bit of touch of class, which puts him a little bit higher. And then you look at Sheffield United, for example. That was a game they won 8-0. In that match, he did get an attacking return in that. He did get a goal, but he only played 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the game you want him starting for. So they're clearly looking at games after Champions League matches,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Perhaps the easier games, and thinking, okay, we'll give Wilson the start here. But it is hard to ignore. I mean, it's three games in a row in which he's registered attacking returns, and it's four goals in three games for Isak as well. I just feel like it's a season where maybe logic kind of goes out the window a little bit. I think the biggest issue really is his price, 7.5 million. You've got Alvarez there. You've got Watkins as well. Obviously, Haaland too. I think that's the thing that kind of puts me off the most. But when I see him in people's teams and he starts, I think he's probably going to do quite well.
Yeah, if you're brave enough. Yeah, I was going to make the same point. You know, in that mid-price forward bracket, yeah, I think I'd rather have Watkins. I'd rather have Alvarez. And then maybe Isak after that. But yeah, I don't see myself owning him unless, as I say, there's an injury that opens the door up there.
What do you make of West Ham then? I mean, they're scoring goals for fun. They look like they've adapted better than we've seen in previous years to Europe as well. The squad looks kind of, you know, really good, and they look happy, and they're all playing for David Moyes when there was kind of question marks about his future last season. Great result for them. No attacking returns for some of the more popular assets. Bowen, I've got Ward-Prowse, who's been really disappointing since I brought him in. But Souček is actually playing in this slightly more advanced role now, which is typical because that's where Ward-Prowse was playing when I got him in. But now it looks like Souček's playing there. What do you think about him as an option? Because we've seen him do quite well for us in the past in our teams.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago. Yeah, Souček, he was 5 mil, wasn't he? And he was a really popular pick.
He was. He's 4.9 now.
Has he gone down? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd own him ahead of Ward-Prowse or Bowen though. I know, like, we're scraping the barrel for enablers, but again, I'd rather have Palmer, or I'd find the extra money for Gordon. I think that's a big upgrade. And if you want a West Ham player, I think it has to be Bowen, who's having a good season himself, and obviously Ward-Prowse, who I think will come good. Like, Newcastle is always going to be a tough game. So I think they're both great picks, but yeah, not Souček for me.
See, I like Souček. I'm a bit more on the train than you are. I think this week's obviously a really tough week. I say this week being after the international break, Aston Villa away. That's a tough match. You'd expect Villa to win that with their kind of home record. But after that, it's Everton, Brentford, Forest, Burnley in the next four. I can't afford Bowen. My team value is awful. I've got Ward-Prowse, but if I wanted to free up some of that money and, you know, look to get Watkins potentially, who is someone that I'm looking at, game week 10 as well, there's some amazing fixtures in that week. That's when we're going to be looking to get Saka back in potentially for Sheffield United at home. I'm wanting to like triple up on Villa potentially because they've got Luton at home as well. And like I said, I think Palmer is fine, but I think Souček could be a starter for us over those 4 weeks if he carries on in this role. And that's the kind of the key thing, because if Ward-Prowse was playing there and he's been switched out, could the same thing happen with Souček? Are they going to adapt the tactics based on the opposition and they're playing at? That's the risk. But 4.9, I like it.
And he could be that player you were talking about, you know, looking for that differential. He pops up out of nowhere, gets you a haul. He's definitely got it in him, but yeah. And this is it. We are looking for these enablers. I couldn't find one on the wild card that let me get Trippier.
Mm.
And Trippier's, you know, if you don't own him, it's becoming increasingly difficult to ignore him. Another assist in that game against West Ham. Did you get him in your wild card?
No.
No, me neither.
No, it was tricky. I look at it now and, you know, I could have switched to a four at the back. I've got Ward-Prowse. I would have had the money to have gone for Trippier. I just was worried about the formation and, you know, I prefer to have the five mids and then the two strikers. But Trippier has kind of just gone absolutely crazy. I mean, it's been quite season defining, I think, for those who got him in before that Sheffield United game, because it's 36 points now. I think over 3 weeks, you know, 12 points a game. And I thought he was too expensive, which was the reason why I didn't go for him. I thought, I don't want to pay 6.5 for Trippier when I can get Botman for 4.5, even Scherer at 5. But 12 points a match is absolutely crazy. And I keep thinking the best two fixtures are done now. Burnley and Sheffield United, you know, they're the two best ones. West Ham's a tricky game. I think they'll concede in that. They do concede, but he gets an assist. And whenever he gets anything, this is the key thing with him, any attacking return, any clean sheet, you know he's going to get bonus as well.
Maybe it's not too late, though. They got Palace after the break. I'd say that's a good fixture right now. We learned that Eze's out for about 6 weeks. So, yeah, after the international break, Palace are going to have no Eze, so he's a big miss. I'm not sure about Edouard, but I think there's still a lot of clean sheet potential there, lots of potential for attacking returns. So yeah, although he's had a few price rises, I don't think it's too late to get on Trippier. But it's what can you do with that money, you know, if you don't go with him? You know, perhaps it'd be Watkins and Botman or Trippier and Alvarez. Maybe that's a close one. Maybe I should have gone for the Trippier-Alvarez option.
You mentioned it earlier, like patience with players. And when does that become stubbornness and when is it wise? It's the same thing with buying players as well. Because I look at Trippier and his price is going up and up and up. He's gaining more and more owners. He's 46% owned now. And it's putting me off. It's putting me off getting him. And I look at the fixtures and they're still good. I mean, like you said, Palace at home, then it's Wolves. Okay, then it's Arsenal. That's a tough one. But then it's Bournemouth as well. I still expect him to do well over this period. But I just don't. It feels like a waste of a transfer to move to someone. And, you know, do you think it's just trying to be too clever, like avoiding someone like him? Because I think that's my biggest downfall with this game, is trying to be too clever and it just always backfires.
I'm definitely guilty of that as well.
Yeah.
It really comes down to, like, what can you do with that extra money? Can you spread that around to make some upgrades? You know, if that gets you from Nakamba to Gordon, for example, those sort of moves are significant and could be the difference. And I think that's the logic a lot of people have applied that dropped Haaland on their wildcard. That was an interesting trend I've seen over the last few game weeks. You know, Haaland's ownership has dropped. He's gone down about 5% over the last few weeks. So we're talking about 500,000 managers there. That's actually massive who have sold Haaland. You know, we know what an elite player he is, a great FPL pick he is. But those people who did that with the thinking that I can spread this money around and make up those points elsewhere. And the same applies, I think, if you go no Trippier, but on a smaller scale. Yeah, and as we saw, those who did it, no Haaland, this week were definitely rewarded after the blank against Arsenal.
Well, let's talk about that game. That was the big game of the week. It wasn't the most exciting match I've ever watched in my life. You were there, weren't you, as an Arsenal fan?
I was there, yeah.
What did you make of it?
Yeah, at the game, the atmosphere was incredible, obviously. Mm. Wasn't a particularly eventful game. You know, I think both sides were just scared to lose, really. But
yep.
The atmosphere was absolutely bouncing after that goal went in late. And I feared the worst, you know, after seeing Saka wasn't even in the squad. You know, at the back of your head, you don't want to say out loud, be like, oh, this could be a tough game. Like,
yeah,
wasn't sure if Martinelli would start and he didn't either. But yeah, great, great result. I did have Haaland and Alvarez that one, but yeah.
Same.
You've got to put the FPL bias aside there, and I couldn't complain, you know.
A consolation if a goal had gone in. I mean, you talk about Saka being missing. Obviously, that's Arsenal's kind of talisman and an even bigger win without him in the team. But Man City, you wouldn't really class him as their talisman in Rodri, but such a key player to their side. He's obviously been out for the last 2 weeks because he picked up the red card. Over that time, and it is a very small sample before I say this, but Man City in the two matches, so Wolves and Arsenal, are actually second bottom for minutes per XG.
Wow.
142.2 without him. With him, so in the other games they've played this season, they're top, 42.1. So it's only two games, but it is a trend that we've seen happen a lot in previous seasons. Look at Haaland in the game against Arsenal, 0.17 XGI in that match. Barely got a sniff. Saliba did an absolute, did a Craig Dawson on him, really. over the last three, though, so one of those games, including Rodri, 0.98 XGI. That is not what you want from a 14 million forward who a few weeks ago we were saying we'd captain every week.
You're right. And although he did rack up a very small XGI, he had zero XG against Arsenal. So, yeah, unbelievable. I think the boat's probably sailed, though, to sell Haaland. I think if you're going to do it, you would do it before Arsenal, you know, because it's Brighton home after the break. And, of course, Rodri's back as well. So I do think City come back all guns blazing. So I don't know if I'd be selling Haaland now, to be honest with you. I know it's for 14.1 mil. You expect him to be scoring every week, but I don't know if I'd be doing it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's Brighton at home next. I've got to be honest, as a Brighton fan, I was concerned going into this match. Estupinan was ruled out. De Zerbi all but kind of ruled out Lamptey as well. He's obviously had quite a lot of injuries in the past, and I think him playing every 3 to 4 days is a little bit kind of unrealistic, which is a shame because he has been absolutely incredible in the matches he has played this season. So we had to change things around a bit. Sonny March came in at left back, gave Belaba his first start. Igor came in to centre back too. I saw the lineup and thought, this is a risky lineup because it's very attacking with just the two in midfield who, you know, we got dominated when we played that kind of formation against Villa in the last game. And I thought, you know, if Liverpool can control the midfield, they've got Salah, they've got Darwin up top. I was concerned, but Brighton did really well. And I know we conceded two goals.
Good result, yeah.
It was a really good result. And it was two individual mistakes again, which has kind of been the bane of our season, really, that cost us. I mean, what did you think of Salah in that match? Because obviously he got the big return. And if you captained him, great decision. You know, the fact he was up against a team without kind of a natural left back maybe swayed a few people. But other than the two returns, he was fairly anonymous, I thought.
Yeah, I was on my way to the Arsenal game at the time, actually. So I was just following it on my phone. So he had a quiet game, did he?
Yeah, I mean, Darwin did as well. I thought Darwin was better than Salah in that match. Yeah, obviously he got the assist for the goal as well. But, you know, he led the line well. And I thought he looked a bit kind of more dynamic and a bit more wanting to make things happen. Whereas, you know, Salah was basically completely unmarked for the first game. I think March forgot what he was doing at left back and then obviously took the penalty. But, you know, I've seen Salah in so many games over the years where every time he gets the ball, he drives towards the penalty area and you think something's going to happen. We talk about it quite a lot on these pods, but there's a kind of this new role for him where he's quite out wide. Maybe his assist potential's increased, but the goal threat's diminished a little bit. It does give me a bit of concern going forward. I mean, what do you think about Nunes?
Yeah. That's the fifth time he's assisted Salah this season as well. So yeah, clearly they're building the chemistry there and they've got a good partnership going. Again, like when we're looking at the forward options, we've got Watkins, Alvarez. I think Darwin's up there. We talked about Isak earlier. I think Darwin's a great pick, if I'm honest. How much is he now?
He's 7.4. So he's cheap.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good price. Yeah.
Yeah.
He always puts up good numbers when he plays. I suppose there's always that concern of rotation. There could be a game here and there. And I think Jota and Gakpo are probably both back after the break. Mm. Certainly Jota suspended for game week 8. Yeah, he's an interesting one. I don't hate the pick at all. And obviously Liverpool's fixtures coming up are incredible. So I don't mind the Darwin pick at all. But yeah, I remember we were messaging each other just before the game week on Friday about captaincy. And you know, I like to just bounce ideas off other managers. And you're like, yeah, I'm on Son captain. And I thought, oh, that's good. Az is on captain Son as well. And you even said, you know, Lamptey's not going to play. You were right. You know, he was a popular pick. He went up in price before the game, 4 mil. He played really well in the Europa League midweek. So Salah was glaring at us right in front of us. But yeah, I went for Son. And well done if you did go for Salah captain. But that's the kind of player he is, you know. If he has a quiet game, he can still pop up with returns out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I really didn't think there was much in it between Salah and Son this week. Actually, if I'd had Darwin, I thought he was probably the better option because his minutes per XGI is crazy. It's the best in the league when he does start, even higher than Haaland over the season. And we've struggled in the past against kind of the big, built, you know, pacey forwards. And, you know, we're coming into Haaland next week. I would be very, very worried about not having Haaland next week against Brighton because we're a good team, but we look to play. And you see it from our lineups. very attacking. The way we try to play football, the individual mistakes we're making compounded with the way we play it out of the back as well. I mean, any team is going to fancy the chance to score against us. It's just, can we score more goals than the opposition?
Yeah.
And I think Man City with Rodri back, that is going to be a real test for us. But I have a bit more optimism now going forward off the back of that. I mean, I look at João Pedro, for example. He's been absolutely brilliant since he's kind of come back into the side. Very popular at the start of the season. We all had him in our teams. De Zerbi dropped him, said that the pressing wasn't quite there. I think he's now started to show that he can deliver in the team. Horrible miss from him in the match. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but has a great chance to kind of win us the game and leans back and hits it kind of over the bar. Oh. But I mean, what do you think about Brighton assets? Because the fixtures do turn really nice from game week 10. Again, obviously Pedro, Mitoma is really popular. Adingra has been excellent. He's just 5 million. Another player at around the 5 million mark who could have an impact for us.
I suppose the problem with Adingra is he'll rotate with Marsh on the right wing. So the two I've been looking at were Mitoma and, of course, Estupinan, but he's injured for a while. I think De Zerbi said he'll be out for around a month or so. So whether he's back for Fulham or not. But even if he's not, after that, the fixtures are good. So those are the two players I'm certainly looking at, Mitoma and Estupinan longer term.
Yeah.
Are there any other ones I'm forgetting or not thinking of?
I think Adingra is an exciting one because I think he is offering something better than March is at the moment. I think March is becoming a bit of a kind of utility man, can play in different positions. You know, he can fill in at right back if he needs to, at left back, on the right wing. Whereas Adingra looks like he's kind of more and more cementing down that right wing spot. And, you know, I think Mitoma's still the one that you pick. Fati has come in and he's done okay in the games, but I don't think he's putting a huge amount of pressure on Mitoma at that left wing spot, which is his kind of natural position. I just think Fati isn't going to get a right wing spot now because March and Adingra look so good there. So Fati is going to have to play as a striker, which could happen because Ferguson isn't performing that well over the last few weeks. I'm not really sure what's going on with Ferguson at the moment. I don't know whether he's got a bit of an injury or kind of a fitness thing, but he doesn't look quite right in the matches that I've seen. He is someone that I think we want to be considering though from game week 10, because in terms of if you take all our players and you say, okay, all your players are going to play 90 minutes, obviously impossible hypothetical example, but yeah. Ferguson would be the one with the biggest ceiling for sure.
Would you say so?
Yeah, he's playing up front. He's got a great eye for goal on his day.
Yeah.
He's unplayable really at times, and he's got so much creativity around him, but he just hasn't really been delivering, and it's going to be hard for him to show his abilities, I think, against Man City.
I remember he pulled out the last international break as well with an injury, so maybe he's still carrying a minor problem from that.
Yeah, he could be. I think there might be something like that. I mean, we could see Fati coming in, we could see, you know, Welbeck coming back into the game, but hopefully the international break gives him a bit of a chance to recover. But he could be a great punt, I think, from game week 10.
Just one more question then from that Brighton v Liverpool game. So we saw Trent Alexander-Arnold back starting again. 2 goals, 11 assists last season, 7.9 mil this season after a price fall. Obviously, he's not played much so far this season. Is Trent back on the menu?
It's not for me. I get it. Like, it's the kind of player that we were talking earlier about, you know, players that could kind of change a season round a little bit. And you always think Trent's got a hole in him. You know, with the set pieces, he could take a free kick. It's great fixtures for Liverpool as well. But I just look at Trippier, who's a million cheaper, and think that's the most expensive defender that I want to buy, because, you know, you've got such good options in the rest of defence. You know, Cash is 5 million, something like that. Adogie and Porro, 4.8, 4.9. Botman share, you know, to double up on that Newcastle defence, you know, that's going to set you like 5 million or less. I just think it's a lot of money to be spending on Trent when there's such good options in midfield and up top. And you mentioned some of the strikers, Isak, Darwin, Alvarez, Watkins. They're around the same price as Trent, and I'd rather have any of those, I think, than him. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. The only way I could see myself owning him, if I was on a no Haaland wildcard, then obviously that frees up loads of money. And that's when you can start playing around with players like Trent at the back. Mm. You could go bigger at the back, Trent and Trippier, for example. But I know what a lot of people did is they used that Trent money instead on someone like Bruno Fernandes, who of course blanked again. Should we talk about Man United?
Yeah, let's. I mean, just one more thing on Trent quickly. I mean, they've got one clean sheet this season. That's the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
If you're paying that much money for a defender, you just can't be completely reliant on attacking returns,
you're right,
only has one of those anyway. Funny clean sheet though, Aston Villa, one of the you know, most free scoring teams in the league. Yeah. I think if you really, you know, if you're in a mini league and you know, one's going to, he's an okay punt, but it's a bit risky for me. Yeah, Manu Brentford. I mean, Brentford 1-8 for them now.
That's unbelievable. Yeah,
I know. We thought they'd struggle without Tony, but it's maybe been a bit worse than a lot of us feared.
They started so well with Brentford as well. You know, at one point, Mbeumo looked like he was near on essential.
Yeah,
you know, on penalties, on free kicks. You know, he was playing really well, chipping with returns. But yeah, he's just dropped off since in the last few weeks. But the same can be said for Bruno and Rashford. So yeah, all of them blanked in that game. 2-1 Man United in the end.
Yeah, I mean, Strakosha came in, 3.9 million goalkeeper. Flecken has the worst XG prevented in the entire league, -3.2. He's got an injury now, so we think he's going to be out for a while. Actually, it's interesting with Brentford, because although they have been really struggling, defensively, the defensive underlying numbers are actually pretty decent. Over the season, 86 minutes per XG conceded. Is actually the fifth best in the league. But it's not enough because they keep conceding goals and can't seem to score too many. Mbeumo's been the biggest disappointment really over the last few weeks, hasn't he? I bought him after all the hauls. Of course.
Same here. Of course. I started the season with Mitoma because, of course, Brighton had the great opening fixtures. And then I made the switch to Mbeumo. And, of course, that was when Mitoma got that brace off the bench, didn't he?
Yeah.
Last game week, I think. It's crazy because last season, you know, Bruno and Rashford, they were just such great picks. And I went into game week one with both of them. And, of course, it's just not happening. But the thing is, do you sell before Sheffield United?
I know.
I think for those who own Bruno Rashford, that the last few weeks in a row, you find a reason to keep them. Like, I've got to keep them for this fixture. I've got to keep them for that. I think the same applies again before Sheffield United. As frustrating as they've been, they've got to be a team to target, haven't they, Sheffield United? 22 goals conceded this season, four more than any team. Rock bottom for expected goals conceded, 19.7. So as poor as the Man United mids have been recently, I wouldn't be selling them. If anything, I'd say that's an opportunity. If you're about to wildcard, say, in game week 10, I'd be looking to bring one of Rashford or Bruno in as a one-week punt. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. When does it end? I mean, you know, we've said this kind of all season, and it's been tough with Manchester United because it's been sort of one good game and then one tough looking game. And if you kind of keep them for the good games, then you end up just holding them for kind of ever. I'm glad I jumped off that train on the wild card. But no, I mean, Sheffield United are really poor at the moment. You mentioned about the goals conceded. They've conceded the most chances down their right-hand side, which is where Rashford plays, and that's 51. So that's a lot more than the second worst team, which is West Ham with 35. So you've got to think Rashford's going to get opportunities if he's playing down the left. They've also conceded the most set-piece attempts as well, 47, which is good for Bruno, who's on corners and free kicks. Obviously, you've got to give him a week. You can't sell them this week. And you know what's going to happen. It's going to be a 1-0, you know, McTominay again, off the bench, something like that. But definitely, if I had either of those players this week, there is not a chance I would be selling them at the moment. Yeah. And they worry me a little bit, actually, going into this match. Because, you know, Manchester United have struggled. But in terms of shots, they're right up there with some of the top teams in the league. They just can't seem to convert. But I think they could get a couple in this match.
And Rashford's taken 31 shots this season. You know, only Haaland's taken more. So yeah, I'd absolutely be holding them. And that is definitely a weak point down Sheffield United's side. Egan missed out the last game. I was absolutely devastated, by the way, to see Basham's injury.
Oh yeah, I know.
Wishing him a speedy recovery. But again, it is a fixture to target Sheffield United. But I'd say so is Luton. Should we talk about Luton and some of their upcoming fixtures? Because they've got Villa, Liverpool, and then they've also got Man United. So again, I think there's opportunities there.
There is.
I think Watkins, again, going back to Watkins, we talked about him here and there. But yeah, just the assist last game week, one of the most transferred in players. I think that's an opportunity. And again, Liverpool and Man United, again, like Rashford and Bruno, when they play Luton, that's an opportunity.
It is, yeah. And I think, like you say, when Luton go kind of away from home, and you know, teams are playing in their own, you know, pitch, I think that's where the quality is going to maybe show a little bit more. It's definitely put me off capturing their players at home when Luton are at home. That match, you do get burnt by these kind of decisions. I mean, I'm looking at that Villa game in game week 10 and thinking, you know, if Haaland is going to carry on underperforming, and that looks like just such a great fixture for them. I mean, Watkins is just returning now ridiculously, because I think there's only one game he's blanked in. It could have been a bigger haul. He missed a really good chance in the last few minutes.
I did see the replay of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been one goal, one assist, and then he's on for bonus.
I know.
Fine margins.
It's terrifying. And I made the decision, you know, a few weeks ago to go for Diaby over Watkins. Diaby's XG non-penalty for the season is 2.59. Watkins is 4.46 over the same period. You know, Watkins' non-penalty XGI isn't crazily high. It's not like, you know, considering the amount of returns he's had, you maybe think he's maybe been a bit fortunate to get some. But Diaby's is quite low. And I was so confident on that a few weeks ago, watching Diaby play, the pace he's got, the problems he's causing defences. But I'm looking at it now and thinking, Watkins is going to be someone who I'm going to really worry about. Yeah. You haven't got Watkins either, right?
I don't. So I also went Diaby. I've got cash as well. But yeah, I'm looking at that Luton fixture in a few weeks. And my loose plan is to bring in Watkins for Alvarez.
Mm.
Although, as you say, like, Watkins has overperformed a bit. That game where he got the 23 points, 3 goals, 2 assists, he only had about 0.9 expected goal involvement. So that was a huge overperformance. Like, there's no two ways about it. However, he is certainly a great pick. So, and they've got great fixtures. So yeah, he's definitely in my plans to come in. I did leave myself with 1.4 million in the bank on the wild card.
Okay.
To keep my options open, because I did drop Saka on the wild card as well. And again, like, talking about Sheffield United, Arsenal, I've got Sheffield United in a couple of weeks.
Mm.
So I'm looking to bring Saka back in. I'm looking to bring Watkins in for Alvarez. So it could actually be Alvarez and Watkins that make way, which of course could backfire.
Sounds like you need a wild card, Oscar.
I think those are fixtures to target, you know, Sheffield United and Luton. So that's my plan.
Yeah. I mean, looking at cash as well in defence for Aston Villa, his XGI 3.84, that's the best of all defenders by quite a margin. It actually ranks him 19th in the league. So including midfielders and strikers, of all those that have made kind of two starts, it's higher than Alvarez, for example, 3.79, isn't it? And he had another great chance as well in the match yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, Villa, you know, you can't really go wrong, can you? There's options kind of all over the pitch. Douglas Luiz as well on penalties.
And the great thing about Cash is he's been playing out of position as well. We've seen him playing in right mid, right wing. Takes up really dangerous areas. So, yeah, he's a great pick still. 5 mil is still a great price for him.
Yep. What about Neto for Wolves? Another attacking return for him. Obviously been getting investment because of the returns that he's been getting. You mentioned Gordon, we've mentioned Suchet, mentioned Palmer, all these kind of cheap players. Where do you sit on Neto?
Yeah, I'd put Gordon ahead of him. I expect him to be pretty much nailed because Barnes is out for a while. So he'll come back in left wing against Palace. They've got good run of fixtures, so I do prefer him. I think he's a better player and a better team, basically. But Neto, yeah, definitely a good pick. And I can understand why people got him over Gordon last week because of that suspension. But I think I prefer Gordon over Neto in that price bracket.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I mean, another team that have got some kind of cheaper players in as well. And, you know, we've mentioned the returns for Sterling and all the people that wildcarded him out. In goal, Jordan Pickford. It has got to be so frustrating for those who kept him all this time. Blank after blank after blank, only to see him get a 9-pointer against Bournemouth. That's just peak FPL, I think. On the other side of the pitch, though, I mean, Everton have actually had the best minutes per chance in the league over the last 3 game weeks. They're creating a chance every 3.8 minutes. And I got this from Let's Talk FPL, who I saw on Twitter today. They're level with Man City over the season for XG per 90, 1.84.
What? That's crazy. So, I know their underlying numbers have been solid and they have been unlucky based on how they've started the season, but I didn't realise they were that solid.
Really, really solid. You know, they finally kind of returned some goals, which we were kind of waiting for in that match. Calvert-Lewin's back now, played another 82 minutes in that game. No attacking returns for him, but they're obviously a better side with him kind of in the team. The numbers are great. The fixtures are, they're not amazing. Liverpool away, West Ham away, Brighton at home, Palace away. It's not the best fixture run.
Yeah.
Would you trust Everton?
You know what? So it's not very inspiring, but I am actually looking at Branthwaite. I was tempted to bring him in this week.
That is not very inspiring.
Because I had Gordon suspended, I had Botman injured, and I was a bit worried because Diaby was also flagged. I had a chance of being 3 or 4 players down.
Mm.
And so I was looking at Branthwaite, but I really wanted to roll the transfer into the international break. However, he's just signed a new contract. I think Everton have turned a corner. So he's actually a potential Burn or Botman replacement for me. Mm. And that's the move that I need to make that frees up that money for both Watkins and Saka. So, yeah, I am looking at Everton. Probably not at the other end of the pitch, but I'm looking at Branthwaite. He's only 4 mil. I think he's a great enabler.
Well, one of the key things was we saw Bayer obviously miss out. He's the 4 million option for Burnley that people are going for. We saw Kabore miss out as well. He's the 4 million option that I've got in my team. He didn't play. So, yeah, if you need a 4 million option, Branthwaite is playing most games. I don't trust Everton defensively, though. Attacking-wise, you know, I think there could be an option maybe for a Calvert-Lewin or a Doucouré or someone going forward, but I wouldn't want to be playing Branthwaite in those matches. The final team, really, that just to talk about quickly, because it was a pretty dull affair, is Palace and Forest in those two games. We've both got Turner in our side.
Not a dull affair for me, my six-pointer from
yeah,
Turner.
Yeah, this is what I mean, because I think the only players we're really considering in these two teams are defenders. Yeah. So bring on the dull affairs. Anderson is now the top scoring defender in the game. I don't think anyone would have predicted that.
Trippier who?
I know, who needs him? Yeah. And they've had the most clean sheets in the league, Crystal Palace, a level with Arsenal too. So it's been a really impressive start for Roy Hodgson's team.
Yeah, I don't know if I would get Anderson if I wanted a Palace defender, because he's gone up to 4.8 mil now. I think by the end of the season, or maybe from here on, he'll have a similar points per game to the likes of Guehi or Mitchell. Mm. So I would say if you want a Palace defender, I would just look there and save the 0.3 mil. But yeah, Turner, 4 mil. I think he actually went up to 4.1 mil just last night or the night before. So he's a great option still. I was worried he might lose his spot to Vlachadimos, who of course joined from Benfica in the summer. You know, you wouldn't leave a Champions League team to go and be backup at Nottingham Forest. So my concern is that perhaps at some point...
Keylor Navas did, to be fair. So
yeah, true. So yeah, I do worry about Turner, but yeah, he started, get to clean sheet. So I would say it's his spot to lose still.
Yep. We need one more week from him, really, don't we? Against Luton at home. And then I think a lot of us got Areola, or those with Leno will probably start, you know, playing him a bit more. So yeah, one more week, please, Turner. And then you can go off on your holidays and do what you want. So, that's all the fixtures kind of covered for last week. Obviously, it's the international break now going forward. What do we reckon? Top scoring player, game week 9, Manchester United player?
Oh, good question. You know what? Captaincy is going to be really interesting again. And I like it when it's like this, by the way, because, you know, when Haaland's the set and forget captain, there's less ground to be made up. But after the break, it really looks like there's a lot of options again. You know, we've got Son home to Fulham. We've got Haaland home to Brighton. We've got Salah home to Everton. And, you know, if you really fancy the punt on someone like Rashford or Bruno, Sheffield United, I think there'll be lots of goals in that. Mm. As it stands, I've got the captaincy on Haaland.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, tough one. Captaincy on Haaland for me. I mean, it's difficult. If Son had got 2 goals against Luton, I think it changes things, which is ridiculous because you can only really look forward rather than constantly looking back. But I think Haaland is going to have a bit of a resurgence against us. And we can see goals and we'll allow City to play. So I think he's still the best option. But like you said, I think there are some good picks. Liverpool, Everton as well. Salah could be good. That's the early fixture. Do we dare risk it?
Is it?
Again.
For many managers, the international break might mean it's time to play the wild card. For those hitting the button, enjoy the tinkering. Everyone else, hold those transfers because there is a lot of football and travelling to be done ahead of the next round of Premier League fixtures. Jules, Kelly and Sam will be back with the FPL pod twice over the international break. They'll reflect on the opening weeks of the season and help managers prep for Game Week 9 and beyond.
If you haven't done so, join the FPL Pod League for the new season. The code is IB3WLK. It's been great, Oscar. Thanks for talking to me.
Really enjoyed it.
And we'll be back on again soon, hopefully.
See you soon.